The reading this morning is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Anybody watch the Eurovision Song Contest last night? Come on, confession time. Well done, Patty, thank you. Yeah, Nick would have done. Did anybody see anybody who was really humble and... Was there anybody who was shrinking back, not wanting anybody to see them? Okay, did anybody watch the FA Cup final yesterday? Shame, wasn't it? Poor Watford. Did anybody see, after somebody scored a goal, did you see this one of these goal scorers, you know, kind of go... Did you? Was anybody like that? Or did they go? Or like Steven Gerrard did one time? Oh, just got cramp in my back. Do you remember Muhammad Ali? What was his phrase that he used to say? I am the greatest. Now, this is just to illustrate the way the world operates and how the world really wants people to see themselves. It's, I am great. Donald Trump, one of the greatest insults he can give anybody is you're a loser. $60 billion, or $60 million, that he lost in a period of time. To be a loser, to be a winner, to be great, to be seen, to be famous. This is what a lot of people want. They want to be famous. They want to be great. They want to be rich. And of course, money equates with your value, doesn't it? If you're really rich, then you're valued more. If you don't have any money, you're a nobody. This is the way the world sees itself. But we are called to a different kind of life, a life of service. And two of the most important verses in that passage: do not live the rest of your earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Above all else, love one another. That is God's desire for us. Our greatness is seen in our service. What was Jesus' greatest moment of his life? The cross. Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, sees the glory of Christ, his victory, when he was hanging on an instrument of torture. He served, and so his greatness was in his service. Here's a bit of a Greek lesson. You don't expect anything else from me, do you, really? Doulos. Ha doulos. When you get an O with this little funny thing on the top, it's ha. So it's ha doulos. Let's say that together, shall we? Ha doulos. That means the servant. It actually means the slave, because the root of doulos is to tie or to bind, to tie up. When I say to bind, I mean to bind up so you can't move. It's the fate of a slave. They are bound to their master. They can't kind of go, "Hi, master, felt a little bit off colour today, decided to stay in bed." We don't really get the concept of slavery. And when Paul talks about him being a servant, he uses the word slave. Now, where I used to work at All Nations, the person, father of the man who built that house, was involved in getting rid of slavery within the British Empire. And so I did a lot of study on that subject. And the numbers of people who left West Africa alive and arrived in the West Indies alive was a terribly small percentage. Slaves were valueless. So Paul talks about us as a slave to God. We are not free. It's difficult for us to understand, even a servant. A servant was not visible. You wouldn't last long as a servant if you kept jumping around in front of the master going, "What shall I do, master? What shall I do, master? What shall I do, master? Hey, 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 hey." Like my dog does when she goes for a walk. No, a servant, a slave, stands there invisible until they're told what to do. I know this is pretty, it's strong stuff, but we are called to service. But service to whom? Service to one another and service to the world. Now, this might sound a bit of a controversial thing to say, that is service to God. But it is. We do sing, we do praise, we do worship. But our real service, I didn't know what Nick was going to read this morning from Romans 12. I thought, that was a good verse. I could have preached on that one in the middle of it. But to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that is your spiritual worship. So worshipping God is living to God, not living to self. Now, we've got lots and lots of biblical evidence for this. I had some fun looking for the pictures of the... wonderful. People who draw Sunday school cartoons are just the best. They really are. I love them. But God, it's interesting, in all the other creation stories of the nations, like Babylon and Egypt and Assyria and Syria, human beings were created to serve the gods. In the creation story in Genesis, what happens? God provides for the human beings. It's totally the other way around. Totally countercultural. So God starts off creation by serving humanity. That's the nature of God, is to serve. Abraham, you remember when the three blokes come and visit Abraham, and they say, "Well, we're going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah," and Abraham kind of goes, "What if they're 20 people? 20 good people? Is that right? 20, what, 15? 10? 5? What about, yeah, 5. That's great." He is serving, he is pleading with God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he knew what they were like, but he wanted to serve the nations. And the whole of the sacrificial system. I had to look these verses up carefully, actually, but I'm really glad that Numbers 18 and Deuteronomy 18 come together so you can just remember it. So the Levites served the people by sacrificing for the people. But the Levites didn't have any land, so they couldn't produce food for themselves. So the people had to serve the Levites. This is the way that God set up. Your religious system is one of mutual benefit to one another. How about that? Not selfish, it's serving. And so Israel is to serve the Lord. That's Israel is God's servant. Now in the New Testament, I've already mentioned Jesus, which is not surprising. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the ultimate servant. And these verses, you can look them up later. I just want to say that what Luke 22:27 says, It says, among the kings of the Gentiles, they lord it over the people. But you, the oldest must become like the youngest. The master must become the servant. And Jesus says, who's greater? The one who reclines at table or the one who serves at the table? The one that reclines at the table. But I am among you as one who serves. So Jesus, hang on a minute. You're saying that the person who's sitting down is greater than the one serving. Aha. And you're the one who's serving. Aha. Does that make you less than the person sitting at the table? Yeah. Because Jesus, God, Jesus is God. He serves. He is the model servant. He just doesn't say serve one another. He demonstrates what it is to serve. Good loads of verses. The washing of the disciples' feet. It wasn't just because they're smelly old feet. It was simply because it was the lowest slave of the household who washed people's feet. And Jesus demonstrated what it meant. This passage is just unreal. Philippians 2. Have the same, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. And it says, because he was in the very nature with God, he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped at. That is a true translation. Because he's in very nature of God, not in spite of the fact that he's in very nature of God, it is because he is God, he serves. So that means that the nature of deity is not sitting on this great lightning throne, it's being on your knees serving others. That's the nature of deity. Not to lord it over, but to serve. I think I'm going to pick another religion. I don't really think this one's for me, to be honest. It's a little too much. I mean, talking about a God who serves, you must be out of your tiny mind. But I'm not. This is what God is like. He is the servant. God as slave. So when Banksy comes up with a new picture featuring God as a slave, don't be shocked. Go shout hallelujah to them. Because yes, that's the God. That's my God. And the early Christians got ridiculed for it. There's an old graffiti on a wall that shows a donkey being crucified. And it says, I can't remember the name of the person, somebody worshipping his God. The crucified donkey God. I think Richard Dawkins would like that, wouldn't he? But no, that is the God we serve, the God who is totally and utterly countercultural, to serve one another. Now, okay, there's going to be a list here, because it's a long list, actually, and I haven't put them all up. Paul talks about one another's, and these are Paul's one another's. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet each other with a holy kiss. I tell you, in Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there's a bunch of holy snogging going on. Greet each other with a holy kiss, which is not... It's an intimate relationship, the one another's. You are part of me and I am part of you. Encourage one another. Serve one another humbly in love. Bear with one another. Put up with one another, in other words. Be kind and compassionate to one another. This is the verse that my mum used to quote to my sister and I when we'd had a punch up. And we did. We did literally come to blows. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. I don't know how many times I can reel it off, so I must have heard it several times. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a few of them, isn't there? I didn't even realise I got the end of it. One another. Christianity is not an individual faith. It's a one another faith. And it's about serving one another. And we could go through all of those one another's, instruct, encourage, don't judge, could go through all of those. And remember, our service to one another is service to God, and our service to one another is a model to the world. It's where we started. That's why we should grow. That's why we should connect. That's why we should serve, is so the world will know. Not so we'll get good, it's so the world will know. So we are a serving community. Well, we should be a serving community. We should be serving one another, looking around. What can I do good to that person for that person today? How can I encourage them? How can I correct them even? That's loving. That's actually very loving, because you never know when you start to correct people whether they're going to punch you in the mouth or not. Hopefully not. Putting it mildly. But these one another's obviously are very, very important to the Apostle Paul, because he's writing to people who lived in a world that's not that different to us. Greatness is seen in winning. Greatness is seen being high status. Greatness is seen in riches. But it should be different with you. You should be serving. And it sounds nice, but remember the slave? How do we serve? Well, we do serve by giving verbal communication of the gospel. There's a phrase which is quoted quite regularly from Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. I hate that. Theologically, it's all wrong. Because if you just do good, people will think you're a good person. And I was going to say, I know you. That'd be nasty. But they'll think I'm a good person, but I know me, and I'm not. I don't do this because I'm a good person. I do it because I've been transformed by the saving knowledge of God in Christ Jesus, who has transformed my life. So the communication of the gospel verbally is still vitally important. Now, I know it's not popular, and people go, oh, don't you push your views on me. Why not? Well, because. Not a good argument. Okay, so communicating the gospel. Do not think that our service is mute. Deeds without words are mute. Words without deeds are simply hollow words. So communication of the gospel. Loving one another is a model. This is a model garden, by the way, just so you know the connection in my muddled mind. So this is a model garden. We are to be a model to the world. God is going to bring all things in heaven and on earth under Christ through his blood in Jesus Christ. And we need to show the world what it is to be a group of people under Jesus Christ. And we do that by loving one another. By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that's not just saying, you know, I really love you. It's doing. Love is love in action. Serving the poor and the vulnerable. Compassion and justice. God is very angry with injustice. And there's a whole bunch of injustice going on around the world. And we have a great advantage. We, as people here in Bourne, in Britain, if you're old enough, you've got a vote. You can vote for people who will do justice. We can speak out against injustice. We can help other people. It's not against the law yet. Just an example of personally, we watched Wira Davis has done a report about people sleeping on the street in Cardiff. It was harrowing. People with massive mental health issues are sleeping on the street and having to fend for themselves day by day by day. God's angry at injustice. And so from compassion and justice, serving the world. And of course, serving the creation. Creation care is not for tree huggers. It's for all of us. We do serve God's world because he loves the world. He's made it and he does want it to be preserved. He's going to recreate it, so we should keep it in a good state. Now, you may say, But I can't get involved in all of that, Paul. It's too demanding. And that's all. It's all right to say that. Don't think you can't say that. But you serve God every day when you go to work, when you interact with one another, people in the street. That is service to God. So if you are a teacher, if you are a policeman, if you are any profession, you are serving God there. That's a mirror, by the way. That was about as good as I could get. So if you want to see a full-time worker, don't look at me, because I'm only part-time. No. Forget that. Forget I said that. Especially the deacons and the elders. Forget I said that. If you want to see a full-time worker, look in the mirror. Because you are God's full-time workers. All of you are God's full-time workers. Whether you work in a shop, whether you work at whatever, you are a full-time Christian missionary. I've quoted Chris Wright before, who said that ministry and mission are too important to be left to ministers and missionaries. We're not the professionals. We just are everyday Christian workers, and doing your job well is a service to God. So don't think about this sort of missionary, most revered minister, down a bit, NAM. No. And then you get down to, you know, teacher, road sweeper, whatever you do. You are God's missionary in the place where you are, and serving well in your job is service to Jesus Christ himself. So this is an important thing to get across, because we are made for service. We weren't made to be served. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and ultimately give him his life as a ransom for us. So we are not made to be served. We are the servants of this world, not the masters. We are made to serve one another. Just when you go for coffee, look around. These are the people that you should be serving. And we're made to serve the world. God's ultimate is that the world is served through his church. We are called out from the world to be sent back into the world. That's what the word church means. Called out to be sent back. So let's pray. Our servant King, we worship you. Lord, you show your greatness in the fact that you served the world, you served your disciples, you constantly served the church. And we thank you for that. Thank you that we have a model of greatness that does not include riding horses and waging war and being rich. But we have a servant God who wants to serve us, that we may be able to serve his church and his world. Help us, Lord, to think about ways in which we can serve one another. Think about ways that we can serve the church and serve in the world. Help us to think about our own work and the ways in which we can be of service to the world through that as well. We thank you, Lord, for your word and its challenge to us. Help us to take up that challenge and run with it. In Jesus' name, amen.